All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is CADcast episode number 205, and I am GPD, and I am here in Tokyo, Japan, and I am joined by Wombat. What happened, Wombat?
I'm sorry, it's hard to talk with your balls in my mouth.
Oh, what? That's, you can't reference a joke that I made before we started recording the show. Nobody's going to understand it.
I found it funny, and I bet Shipwreck found it funny.
Right. I got it. I was in on the joke.
You're supposed You're supposed to say what joke? That would have been the appropriate response.
But he's not going to leave me hanging like that, and I appreciate it.
Right. No. That's not as good a joke as my joke.
The joke about everybody putting your balls in your mouth, in right. our mouths.
I don't know.
There was balls in somebody's mouth.
It was us putting his balls in our mouths.
Right. I was just doing a test to make sure I sounded okay, and that's just the weird thing that came out of my mouth.
Your over-explaining has ruined the joke anyway.
Well, now people are interested. They want to know what's going on.
No, they don't. Well, that's the whole point of the show. Just keep people interested so they keep listening.
So nobody, like, Lost.
Exactly. We right. should have not answered the question. Like, right. stay tuned next week when you'll find out why Cheapy's balls were in my mouth.
Right. Well, I'm very excited because I speak. Well, let's get off the subject of balls and mouth, okay? If we can for a second. After waiting for about, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm not quite sure. I just got an email from the Apple Store in Shibuya, and my iPad is ready to buy. They're ready for me to give them $500. Is what the email said, basically. I had to reserve it because they're pretty hard to get here. So I'm going to get an iPad tomorrow. Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome.
Finally, yeah, you'll have something to sit around in your apartment and look at the internet on.
Right, because the netbook and the MacBook and the Mac Mini and the iMac and...
The iPhone.
What? iPhone. Right. Oh, and I lost my iPhone also. I left my iPhone in a taxi cab.
You didn't get it back?
No, I didn't get it back.
The last I heard, you were following it around through some kind of software where you could see where your iPhone was traveling around Tokyo.
Right. Here's the deal. If you have the Mobile Me service, which you pay for, the retail price on that is $100 a year, and it lets you sync your email and a bunch of other stuff. But it also has something called Find My iPhone, which basically is like a locating service for your iPhone. You can just use it in any browser. So... what happened was I was meeting my wife for dinner and her friend and one of my friends. And this really was like an awful night, actually. It was maybe the rainiest night that's happened in a long time. And I haven't seen this guy in, 8 months or something. And we just set up like very casual meeting instructions. I said, I'm going to meet you, outside the train station at 7 o'clock or something like that. And I take a cab to meet my wife, and as I am walking inside, get out of the cab and walk inside the building, I put my hand in my pocket, and I see that my iPhone is not there, and I turn around immediately, and I try to run after the cab, and it's at, one of those, cab drop-off places, so there's, a million cabs, and I'm just, running around into all the cabs and trying to, tell them that I lost my phone, and everyone's looking at me like there's a crazy white guy coming to kill me, what do I do? And I didn't get it back. So I started tracking the phone, and I can see it now my phone's in Shinjuku. Now my phone's in Shibuya. It's just it has a service on Find My iPhone where you can send a message to your phone. Even if you're in, have the ringer off, even if you're in silent mode, it'll make a noise for 2 minutes and it'll flash a message on the screen. So we would put the message to, call my wife's phone, and I don't know, this... no one ever called. But there was still hope because every taxi service in Tokyo, there's a lot of different taxi services, they all subscribe or take part in this universal lost and found system. So no matter what taxi you're in, you can fill out a form and supposedly they'll get in touch with you when they find your stuff. And unlike in New York, where if you leave anything in a taxi, you can basically just kiss it goodbye, you actually have a good shot of getting it back. Shima's left her iPhone in the cab, I think, 2 or 3 times, and she's gotten it back every time. But nothing. I got nothing. So I went to meet my friend, and of course, it's in the rain, and he only has my cell phone number, and I don't have the phone. So I'm running around in the rain for 20 minutes trying to find the guy, only to find out that he's going to be like 40 minutes late. And I have no phone. So I was sad. But now I just took my wife's phone because she got an iPhone 4. And I just, now I have her phone.
That was a great story.
I don't know. There's a lot of Apple in that story.
There was a lot of Apple in that story.
People are going to think I'm some sort of Apple fanboy.
Well, I own stock, so I thank you.
Well, it's down like a bunch today because of that Consumer Reports report about the iPhone 4 antenna being not working properly. I think it was down. It was down last I checked. That's a pretty big
problem.
It's
still the iPhone, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, people are still going to buy it.
Yeah, it's not going to matter, but it's going to scare people a little bit. I'm still going to buy it. I have a reservation for an iPhone that I can't buy because they don't have any of those here either. And if they, call me tomorrow and tell me I can come pick it up, I'm going to go pick it up. I'm going to put it in a case anyway. I don't care. I'm going to drop it about 3 or 4 times. So
you should just walk into the Apple store and say, I'll take one of everything.
Right.
That's because that's pretty much what you have in your house now. You're missing an Apple TV, right? That's pretty much the only hardware you're missing.
I don't need an Apple TV because the Mac Mini is better than that. And I don't have a MacBook Pro. I have like an old MacBook. But then I'll be good to go. And I don't have a Mac Pro either.
I think when you get everything, you actually get a hand job from Steve Jobs. You get the Steve Job.
That's his middle name. Hand job. Steve hand job.
Steve Job. That's good. I don't know. He doesn't look like he's going to give a good one, though. He's too sickly.
No, he probably is. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't give out many because of the, requirements involved. But
right. I don't know.
I'm sure he cares. He probably has very soft hands. The hands of a man that's never really worked.
Right. No physical labor.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that was a story that didn't really go anywhere. You guys got any stories that don't go anywhere?
I don't know if I can compete with that.
Did you guys lose anything? I can still get my phone back, by the way, but I don't even care because I have my wife's phone, which actually works better than mine somehow, even though it's the same phone.
I almost passed out on my way home from work today when I was driving.
What happened?
Well, I posted on Twitter right before I left work. My big toe on my left foot has been numb ever since E3. So it's about a month now of not having any feeling in like the tip of my big toe.
Hmm.
And so I just posted on Twitter like, hey, what's up with this? Like, give me your diagnosis, Twitter.
Right.
And so I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. Have I mentioned how I faint easily in the past?
No.
Oh.
That's new to me too, but I'm glad I know that.
Okay. Yeah. I actually fainted in health class in college.
Were they showing like a birth video?
No. He was just talking about something and I decided I probably had that disease. And this isn't the first time I've fainted. Like, I've fainted 3 or 4 times probably in high school or whatever. All the way from middle school through high school. And so I knew I was going to faint this time. And so I decide to get up and try to make my way out of this big auditorium in college. I have 2 different stories now, but this is the college story.
This sounds like a pretty good one.
Yeah. So I'm in the probably second row of this big auditorium. And so I get up, I start walking back, and then all of a sudden everything just turns to black, but I still have my movement. I'm still like conscious and everything here. So I just go for a seat and hope nobody's sitting in it.
Oh my God.
And fortunately nobody's sitting in the seat. So I sit there for a couple seconds. My sight comes back. So I get back up. I'm about halfway out of the auditorium at this point. I get all the way back to the end of the auditorium. I reach for the door handle and I completely pass out. I just fall completely backwards and I wake up and the professor's just like standing over me like, And then I never had to go to health class the rest of the semester.
Because it was too intense for you?
Yes, it was. He said, you don't have to come back. Just come back for the exams.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah. But yeah, so on the way home from work today, I was like, some people would like immediately responded to my tweet.
Cancer.
No, like I got there eventually. Like, so the first type couple things, it's like, you probably like pinched a nerve or broke your toe or whatever. Those were things like I had kind of been thinking anyways, because I vaguely remember dropping something on my toe in the hotel one night and thinking, oh, that should have hurt more than it did.
Was it my balls?
Might have been.
Right.
Might have been.
Sorry, I'm go not on. Sure.
So then people are like, start like chiming in that it's it could be diabetes or some circulation problem or whatever.
Right.
So I'm driving home, and it's just like mulling over my head, and all of a sudden I've convinced myself that I have a broken toe, a pinched nerve, diabetes, probably testicular cancer, and
balls.
I start getting the feeling that I'm going to pass out, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm on the highway.
Oh man!
And so then it's like pouring down rain, but I have to put down the windows. That way it would cool me down, because it just gets so hot. So you have to cool yourself down. So I crank up the air conditioning and I turn down lower the windows, and the rain's coming in and everything. So I made it home all right. It was good.
Which is, whew. That's pretty dangerous. So let me guess, you don't watch a TV show like ER?
I don't like watching that stuff, but it's weird. Like, sometimes it cannot affect me at all. And then other times it just gets to me and I can't help it at all. Like TV stuff I see is fake.
Right. Okay.
But I've passed out before. Gretchen got bit by a kinkajou at one point.
Is that some sort of alien monkey or something?
It is. Basically, it's very close to an alien. Yeah. She used to work at the Cincinnati Zoo, and she got bit by a kinkajou. And so she had to go to the hospital. And while they were like taking blood from her or whatever, I passed out.
Wow, you passed out when somebody
take me out of the room when she was
just wait until she pops
hospital.
Out a kid.
I know. Watch. I don't know if I'm going to be able to be in the room.
No, you can do it from just stand by her head. That's what I did.
Don't look over the, you know.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
knees.
Yeah. Stand by her head and you can
I think
be
I'm
there
have to
for her.
Can you sit down? Can you at least sit down?
You can ask
you can
for
sit
a
down.
Chair, I'm sure.
Yeah, there was a
I'll
chair.
I need a chair and like
bed.
A glass of ice cold water.
Yeah, I've passed out from when they've taken blood from me before when I was younger.
When I go to the eye doctor, I can't even have my eyes dilated because I've passed out there before when I
dilated
my eyes.
That's good to know. I'm glad you told us that, because maybe at E3 next year something will happen and you'll pass out and I won't be worried. I just know that you're insane.
I'll get back up.
Right, you'll eventually get back up.
You're a living Chumbawamba song.
That is pretty awesome. Wombat, do you have any medical issues that we need to know about?
No, I'm really not that exciting. We had Sabrina's birthday party on Sunday.
Anybody pass out?
No one passed out. We had 30 people in the backyard. There was cupcakes and a bouncy house. That's about it.
Oh, cool. And your toe's fine?
My toes are fine.
Cool. Shipwreck, next time, try to pass out during the show. That would be really good fake radio. Especially, and try to knock. No, you're supposed to make a thumping noise. I just want to hear like this. And then that's it. And then we're like, shipwreck? Okay, anyway, let's do some show feedback from last week's show. Jaded Jedi says, love the developer theater. You guys are back to your usual selves after that infighting 2 episodes ago. I forgot to log in for the last episode, but my mom's commentary was the best. They're actually talking about games for once instead of shit. Wow, your mom listens to the show and gives
you a... That was why I put this on here. I'm like, wow, do we have any other mom listeners?
My mom.
My mom doesn't listen. Oh. My wife listens and she's a mom, so that counts.
That sort of counts. Apathy. Yeah, that is pretty cool that your mom gives you a little preview of the show. Apathy Lad says, Shipwreck was right. Lego Star Wars, the complete saga, had online.
Complete saga?
Saga. Saga had online co-op. Why would they put it in just that one version of the game? Did it work?
It worked, yeah. I don't know.
That's really
I have no reason behind that whatsoever.
He doesn't work for Traveler's Tales. He doesn't know.
Oh, it just seems like a weird thing. All the games are basically the same. They probably wouldn't have to change much to include it. Maybe it's like they don't want kids being harassed over the internet. I don't know. Schaffnitz responded to my complaint about the Zune Marketplace, having to go through the Zune Marketplace to watch videos on your Xbox 360 because it's slow and it's annoying. He said, if you delete the Zune Marketplace item from your storage device, watching your game videos goes back to the old, better way. I don't ever rent or buy anything from the Zune Marketplace, so I'm not missing anything. Good tip. I will make that happen. Wamba, why don't you read a few of these? I think I might pass out.
Frisky Tanuki says, Activision already gets a substantial amount of money from the Modern Warfare 2 map pack sales, and they also signed a big exclusive deal with Microsoft over map packs for the next two Call of Duty games. I don't really see why they should get a cut of the subscription sales. And even then, they'd have to share with every other publisher and developer unless there's a way to tell exactly why each person signed up for live and distribute the money accordingly.
Yeah, that'll be Microsoft's argument, is how do we quantify? Okay, you say 60% of the people are paying for Xbox Live because they play Modern Warfare 2 online, but how do you quantify that? You know, unless there's... You know what they could do? Is they could include... Here's what they should do. They should, with each copy of Modern Warfare 2, they should include like a special code for Xbox Live. And, you know, then if people use that code and sign up for Xbox Live, then maybe they could work out some deal with Microsoft where they get a cut. Then you could say, hey, that's why people signed up. Sorta. Maybe.
Nah, it wouldn't work. No.
Nah, it wouldn't work. No. Okay. Take this next one, too.
BJ Crouch K. BJ Crouch K? Crouch? I don't know. I think it was cheap you asked about whether you get to keep the free DLC that comes with the PSN Plus membership after the membership lags. It isn't free. I can't stand when people say things like that. If you're not paying for PSN Plus, you would otherwise have to pay for this content. If you're paying for the subscription fee for PSN Plus, you've made a down payment on anything, everything you actually utilize that comes with the service.
Right. I guess it's how much you take advantage of, and then...
But he makes a good point. I mean, you are still paying money for the content. It's not free content.
Right. It's whatever. It's a throw-in with your subscription.
That's really the subscription, though, isn't it?
Right. Right. And that's what you're getting for the subscription. You're not getting anything else, right? They still haven't announced, like, cross-game chat or anything, right?
No.
No. Just downloadable stuff, discounts, and whatnot. All right, well, let's move right into the new releases, Ship. Why don't you lead us through that?
All right. This week is when Dragon Quest IX comes out. So we will cover it this week instead of last week when you jumped the gun on me.
Whoa.
Yeah. It looks pretty neat. I haven't gotten my copy yet. I pre-ordered a copy from GameStop because I had a $20 credit from a previous deal. But I'm looking forward to it. I'll talk about it next week when I've actually had a chance to play it. But it looks a really good RPG.
So we'll mention it 2 weeks in a row without really saying anything about it.
Well, I mean, I could just repeat stuff from Nintendo Power that I read.
Because I don't care about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll talk about it next week.
Excellent.
And the other big release this week is NCAA Football 11. I don't have anything to say about that one either.
Well, that's my type of game right there. College football? I can't get enough college football.
I wouldn't buy a game with Tim Tebow on the cover, so...
I couldn't name a single... Well, now I can. Tim Tebow is the only college football player that I know.
There you go. He wouldn't like you. You two wouldn't get along.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of college football, yeah. I just watched the trailer for the Pat Tillman story. They're making a movie about it. You know about it? Have you seen that?
I have not seen the trailer, but I am familiar with
the story.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Looks like it's going to be a pretty good documentary. So, all right, that's it for the new releases?
We have some downloadables. For PSN, there's Land It Bandit, which is like a goofy little helicopter type game. and Deathspank is coming out for PSN, Xbox Live Arcade, and I tried out Deathspank. The demo is out on PlayStation Network already.
Oh, how is it?
It's pretty good. Do you guys know anything about it?
Nope.
Okay, this is a action RPG from Ron Gilbert, the guy from all the old LucasArts adventure games.
And the Penny Arcade game, right?
Did he work on the Penny Arcade?
I was going to say, I didn't know he did that too.
Oh, he didn't?
He's known for being funny.
Oh. Right.
So he didn't work on the Penny Arcade game.
That's why I was surprised.
Oh, no, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that he worked on the Penny Arcade game.
Oh.
He's more of a Monkey Island guy, that type of stuff. And this has similar style of humor. It's kind of an odd mix because it's action RPG hack and slash where loot's popping out and everything. But then when you get up to the different characters that you're meeting in the game, you have all these different dialogue options, and it's got like goofy choices in there and everything. And the humor for me in the half hour I played it is kind of, it's hit or miss.
It's video game humor, which like seldom ever works.
Some of it's all right, but it does have two-player local co-op, but the second player is more of a helper character, so they don't level up, and they can't, like, if you're fetching different quest items or you're trying to open up a chest or anything like that, they can't actually do that. They just have to stand there and wait for the Deathspank character to come over and open up the items or grab the items.
This a very loot-heavy game?
It seems like it is. You only get to play for like a half hour, and I think we leveled up twice in that much time, and we had already gotten like a couple different weapons and equipped those. And it seems like it's going to be a fun game, but it's more of a single player experience, I think.
Can the second player die? I'm trying to figure out if this is a good game for Mrs. GPD.
The second character, I was playing that as the second character, and I did not die at all. And the secondary character has a healing spell for the main character. And I did not see a health bar for the second character, so you're probably all right then.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And by the way, Ron Gilbert did work on Penny Arcade Adventures.
There you go.
I'm looking on Wikipedia. Wikipedia's never wrong.
But, I thought it was Rod Gilbert
that worked on the Penny Arcade.
The Ranger?
Yeah. Is that? No? Hall of Fame hockey player? He didn't work on...
Oh, no, Rod Gilbert was the Canadian. Well, was he the Ranger?
He was on the Rangers.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I got confused between Ron Greshner and Rod Gilbert.
Well, then. Right. Also out for Xbox Live Arcade this week is Deadliest Warrior.
I love that show. Do you watch that show?
The game can't be good, can it?
No, I'm sure the game's terrible, but that show is awesome.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you should watch it.
It's a fun show.
It is fun. Yeah. Are you familiar with Ballistics Gel?
Ballistics Gel? Not really.
Okay, so they take a Jell-O mold, and they fill it with like this clear Jell-O, and they
delicious.
Put like organs in it, and then they shoot it a lot and hit it with axes, and it's really gory and awesome.
All right.
And that is every episode of The Deadliest Warrior.
Sounds pretty good. All right, what else?
That's it.
That's it. All right, not much.
Not much.
No, we're in summertime, so it's time to go back and play the games that you missed from the last year, basically, or beyond. All right, let's do some CAG shopping, news, whatever you want to call it. A couple deals that you should know about. If you're a college student, this is a pretty awesome deal. You can get a free year of Amazon Prime. So all you need is a .edu email address, and you'll get free two-day shipping on... basically anything that Amazon sells, no matter how much it costs, and free release date delivery on the games that qualify for that. So that's pretty sweet right there. It's like a $75 value. So yeah, hit the front page of CAG and you'll see the link for that. And some Sunday Ad video game deals. Buy one, get one 50% off on all DS games at Best Buy. If you need Dragon Quest 9, there is a $15 gift card at Toys R Us. And Kmart has a lot of good deals this week. Alan Wake is $35, and so is Singularity. And Call of Duty War Collection. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is $20. And the PSP 3000 console is $150. So yeah, a lot of deals. Kinda, sorta. Also in shopping news, I thought this was sort of interesting. It was a good idea, at least. We'll see how it works out. Kmart is going to be taking reviews from their customers for video games and posting them on the store shelves. So you'll see like a copy of Red Dead Redemption, and then there'll be a review from some schlub that just wrote a review. And I think that's a pretty unique idea. I don't think anyone else has done that before. I mean,
except,
I wonder...
Except for Amazon.
No, at a store, at a retail store.
I mean, right. You could get user reviews for most games.
I know, but it's an interesting idea, you know, with like whole social media and crowdsourcing to give people the opportunity to be in every Kmart store. The real question is like, are you going to go like to the copy of Two Human and some guy says, this is the worst game I've ever played, stay far away. I mean, are they going to be posting bad reviews too? I mean, that seems kind of unlikely. But I don't know. If somebody finds a bad review, let me know. In other CAG news, we're still giving away $10,000 in GameStop gift cards. Just go to the contest page on CAG, although I think we're down to about $8,000 now. But still, plenty left to give away. I have no updates on the iPhone app. I think the next thing that's going live on CAG is a new and improved mobile style. So that you don't need an app for, and that'll work on any mobile phone.
Oh, excellent. I would appreciate that.
Right, you need that.
I do.
For your Samsung...
Reality.
Reality, okay.
I could use Twitter and I could use Facebook, but I can't use...
You can't go to like a regular website on that phone?
I could go to some websites, but most of them don't load, really.
It has to be like a mobile website.
It's a mobile website, yeah.
Right, okay. So soon you'll be happy, hopefully.
I can't wait.
To be happy.
Yes, I've never been happy before.
Right. And also at GameStop, a couple coupon codes for you. 25% off all in-stock used games, $19.99 or more. That's actually the total of your order. It can be a bunch of cheap games that add up to $19.99 or more. Use coupon code 25USED. Thank you, GameStop, for sponsoring the show. And also, thank you, GoDaddy, for sponsoring the show. We've got a bunch of GoDaddy.com coupon codes for you for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. 10% off any order with coupon code CAG10, $5 off a $30 order with CAG5OFF30, and $7.49 domain names with CAG domain. GoDaddy.com.
Remember, it's GoDaddy or go fuck yourself.
Oh, you recycled that from last week.
I did. It was funny last week, and you know, it's funny again.
Speaking of last week,
go daddy or go to hell. Is that better?
No. So I was going to say, speaking of last week, I don't know if people noticed this or not, but the last the last 11 minutes of the show has no Wombat at all, except for Wombat saying goodbye at the end. And there is a connection to GoDaddy. I'll tell you in a second. Basically what happened was Wombat sent me the file of his audio and then went to sleep, and I checked the file, and there was 14 minutes missing off the end of the show. And I was like, uh-oh. So I basically had to edit out anything that referenced Wombat or Wombat said and trim down some of the discussions. And the GoDaddy commercial that we did at the end of the show last week had way too much Wombat in it. So I had to actually cut out the entire thing and just cut and paste the week before's GoDaddy commercial in its place. I'm sure nobody noticed that, but I thought I was very clever there.
Sad thing is I have those 11 minutes on my desktop now, and it was pretty funny stuff.
It wasn't that funny.
I think Blumpkin jokes in excess are always very funny.
Right. Well, I wasn't about to re-edit the entire show again after, you know, just for that, for like a Blumpkin joke.
Says you.
Says me, exactly. I was done with my work for the day, and I wasn't about to stay up till, you know, 2 a.m. to get that done. It wasn't that funny. Anywho, let's move on to some multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff. It looks like Shipwreck finally got his hands on Singularity.
I did. I'm about 2.5 hours into it, and I really like that game, too. You guys were right about it last week.
Yeah, I was surprised. Well, I guess it's getting pretty good reviews now. I guess I think maybe some sites didn't review it right away.
That's because they didn't send it out to sites right away.
Boy, they really did a bad job marketing this game, huh? Like, yeah, no marketing.
I know, I realize we're not the top tier review site. Like, we're not IGN or GameSpot or whatever. But a lot of sites that I would like consider our peers, like Screw Attack or Destructoid or those type of sites.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they all got the game the same day I did, which was about a week and a half after it released.
Right.
So yeah, they didn't exactly do a great job. Activision didn't about getting that out into reviewers' hands.
It's really strange because it's nothing to be. It's not like I can understand if the game was really shitty why you would do that, but it's a quality game.
I know they didn't have the kind of budget that a lot of other games have, but it doesn't show, if that makes sense. Like, they made a quality game. It's a lot of fun.
It's polished and it's fun, and
it could use some more polishing. It could use some more polishing,
The shooting part is polished. All the gameplay elements are polished. I mean, the textures maybe could have used more help, and maybe, you know, some of that stuff. But I thought like the shooting was dead on.
The shooting's good. I wish the guns felt like they had a little bit more weight or kickback to them, I guess.
Maybe.
But no, I do enjoy the shooting. I haven't gotten that many powers yet from my little TMD, but I'm enjoying what it has, just very limited so far.
Right. Deadlock. It's all about Deadlock. Level up Deadlock.
Yeah, level that up all the way. I waited too long to do that, which is my mistake. Yeah.
It makes the game a lot easier and a lot more fun. But yeah, I recommend everybody check that out, especially Kmart, $35. And that was my buy price on the review, so get it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the lead designers, I think, on the game. Yes, designer. Manveer Air, I think that's how he pronounces his name, recently left Raven and is now working for BioWare.
Oh, all right.
One of the people who worked on this game, so.
Mass Effect needs some time-stopping mechanics.
Yes, so there you go. Time-stopping mechanics and Mass Effect 3 confirmed.
Do you think it's, like, I read that too, that he had left and gotten to BioWare, and we don't know the ins and outs of it, but it just wasn't very surprising with how much Activision doesn't seem to really support Raven's releases.
I don't know. It's a really odd. And a first-person shooter, generally, like, first-person shooters, I think, are, like, the most popular genre, at least in the United States. And, you know, you just throw a little money behind it in marketing and it'll sell. Like, people don't need a lot of excuses to buy a first-person shooter. They just need to know that it's out and it doesn't suck.
And that's pretty much enough. I don't understand the release window for it either. I think it should have been released early spring rather than the middle of summer. Because middle of summer, it's a tough sell for anything.
Not for me. Now I'm just looking for shit to buy. I'm just like, I ordered Crackdown 2, then you guys talked about it, and then I canceled my order because it was like back ordered. And then yesterday, I was like, man, I don't really have anything new to play. So I reordered Crackdown 2. And then I was like, shit, why did I do that? I got to cancel that again. And I went to cancel it again, and it was already in like the shipping process.
Did you get it from PlayAsia?
I got it from Amazon Japan.
How much was it on Amazon?
It was 4,900 yen, so it's about $50.
It's $40 on PlayAsia for the region-free version of it?
Well, with shipping, it's close with shipping and everything.
Yeah, I'm just saying for our users as well, yeah, for listeners. That
the shipping, I think, is $4
like
40, there.
Yeah,
right?
$44 from PlayAsia for Crackdown. And
we all know GBD's not going homeless over $10.
No.
Right. GPD orders the most expensive shipping option from PlayAsia, so it doesn't take too well. Sometimes I do, but if it's a new release game, I'll usually order like $15 or $16 shipping option because it comes in 2 days. It's either 2 days or 2 weeks. That's your choice, basically. So I usually go for that. And by the way, I got to give major props to Amazon Prime Japan. I ordered it at like 11:50 a.m. you know, right before noon, and I got it that night. Although the mailman came at 9:30 p.m. It's like really working hard, those Japanese mailmen. Can you imagine like an American mailman showing up at your house at 9:30?
I would watch what you say about mailmen.
Japanese mailmen.
I'm just walking on eggshells.
They ain't coming after me.
Say nice things about mailmen.
They ain't coming to Japan. You say nice things.
I do actually think someone is coming to Japan who would very literally kick your ass if you said the wrong thing about mailmen. That's all I'm saying.
Who? You have somebody in mind?
Yes. Mm. My father was a mail carrier.
Oh. Really?
He's a retired mail carrier.
No, well, I didn't say anything bad. I stopped you
before you could put your foot in your mouth.
Oh no, I was gonna say, why would I say anything bad about mailmen?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past you. That's all.
No, what could I possibly have to say bad about mailmen? Japanese mailmen are the best, by the way. They come at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. That's just what I want.
Yes, but do Japanese mailmen teach redheaded kids how to throw a ball? I don't think so.
No. All right. Let's move on. This is Shipwreck. Why don't you take this one since you predicted it last week?
It wasn't very hard to predict, though.
But so soon.
We talked about how Blizzard had this new policy on their forums where you had to give your real identity. They would use your real world name on the forums. And just about immediately after we recorded last week, I think the next day, they decided, we're not going to have that policy anymore.
Right. It's not a good policy for a lot of reasons, and the legal ramifications are probably the one that made them change their mind.
I just can't believe that they like sat around in a room thinking about this ahead of time, and this didn't come up.
Right.
And then it had to have come up. It had to come up in that meeting, and they had to say, no, we're going to go ahead and do it. And then a day later, 3 days later, however long it was, they'd already convinced themselves that it was a bad idea.
Right.
It's so weird.
You have, on one hand, there's this slight possibility that it'll reduce trolling on the forums. On the other hand, you have the very real possibility that some people on our forums are going to be killing other people in our forums in real life when they don't like something that they've posted on the site. So yeah, pros and cons. Someone take the next one. Whoever put it there.
I put it there because it's Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat news. It's a canceled Mortal Kombat game news. There was apparently an interview with Ed Boon in Game Informer where he revealed that there was going to be a co-op game with Sub-Zero and Scorpion called Fire and Ice that was going to be kind of like a sequel to Shaolin Monks. But it got canceled. That's pretty much all that happened. Did you guys play Shaolin Monks at all?
I remember playing it a little bit, and I remember it not being bad.
I really liked that game. It was a really fun beat 'em up co-op 2-player game. And I actually talked to the community manager about this when on my flight back from E3 when I met him, and mentioned Shaolin Monks, and I said that they should do another one. And he said, well, the sales weren't that great and we're kind of limited on number of team members now, and we got to concentrate on getting the fighting game out. And
good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I admitted that's smart, but
maybe as an Xbox Live Arcade game or something, I don't know, or you know, PSN game. Let's see what else we have. I put this on, this is funny because I'm just learning things right now as I click through. I put this on the outline yesterday. There was a conference somewhere and somebody from GameStop made a statement saying that they didn't like being in the used game business, but they had to be there because otherwise they wouldn't be able to stay in business. And as I'm reading this, I said, it's a matter of time before somebody at GameStop refutes this quote or backpedals on it or something like that. Because it's not something that any reasonable GameStop executive would say, because you're basically admitting a major weakness to your company. And for a publicly traded company, you just don't do that. It's just, you know, it's a recipe for your stock dropping. And there's no way you would say that. And sure enough, as I click through the story right now, it says an official spokesperson from GameStop says that these comments from an unnamed and unknown person claiming to be a GameStop employee are inaccurate. You know. And they say that both, you know, everything's important to their business. So, yeah, it's a really, really odd thing for somebody to say who wants to keep their job at GameStop. It was probably like a retail clerk.
Well, I don't understand. Like, why don't we have this person's name? Like, I'm reading the story here, and it says they were speaking at a keynote at the Develop conference, and they just call this person a GameStop spokesperson. Like,
right. His name isn't anywhere, and you don't even know if it's there was some guy on a panel at a discussion somewhere, and then somebody from somewhere got on a microphone in the crowd and said something. You don't even know. There's no details.
Okay, it looks like I read that wrong. The keynote was actually by Instant Action CEO Lewis Castle.
Right.
And then a GameStop spokesperson came up and said this. So, yeah, maybe it was just like somebody on a mic came up to ask a question.
Maybe like a Q&A afterwards. And
yeah, that's what I thought. That's the impression I got. Yeah, hi, my name is Mike. I work at GameStop. And we don't like selling used games, but we have to because we don't make enough money on the new games.
And I only keep working there because my mom says that if I don't get a job,
she's going to throw me out of the house.
Exactly.
By the way, don't forget to, do you want to pre-order Gears of War 3? It comes out in April of next year. Yeah, I don't know. It just was like a weird thing. Of course they like pre-owned. They like being in the pre-owned business. It's a great fucking business. Everybody would want to. Everyone's trying to get into that business. Of course people like it. All right, what's this next item here?
This is something I got in the mail. So I came home from work yesterday, and I had a package sitting on my desk from Iceland, from Reykjavik, Iceland.
Whoa.
Exactly. So I'm like, what could I have gotten from Iceland? So I go and I open the box, and inside the box is a little wooden treasure chest.
Hmm.
About, I don't know, let's say, yeah, maybe 8 inches, you know, long, like a little box. And I open
big
the box.
Big enough for a dragon egg.
Exactly.
Is there a dragon egg in it?
There is not a dragon egg in it. It's for a Facebook game called Vikings of Thule, which I guess I'll check out on the Facebook. And it came with like a little map and some rune stones and a necklace with a big fish hook on it. But the box
came to your
really
office?
Cool. It came to my desk at home.
Oh, at home.
At home.
Wow, how'd they find you?
I don't know.
That is weird.
Huh.
That is really weird.
But it's
I think
cool.
You should take a picture with the necklace on.
I will take a picture with the necklace on, and I'll take a
and
picture
no shirt.
Of the box. And
no shirt.
Of course no shirt. It's 9,000 degrees in this room. I really don't want to be wearing a shirt.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of that. That's got to cost a pretty penny to send something from Iceland.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, I better, you know, they spent the money to ship this to me. I'm going to mention Vikings of Thule for the Facebook.
Well, that was nice of you. All right, let's move on to Sony. Quickly, I wanted to mention that I got Demon's Souls, and I got farther than Shipwreck. I'm going to say that right now. Thank you to everybody who wrote in on the feedback from last week and told me to take the royalty class because I can see how the game would be impossible without it. He's got that soul arrow spell that basically kills the enemies in one shot, which is very important. I made it and I killed a demon. I killed like a major demon, which was a very big accomplishment for me. But overall, I don't think the game is very good. It's just... It doesn't seem like a very well thought out game. First of all, it's incredibly dark. Like, you can't see anything in the game. You just see, like, your character emits light. So you can only, when you're inside, you can only see, like, a few feet in front of you. Now I turn the brightness up in the game all the way. And still, I can't really see anything. And the demon boss that I fought was, like, this black... I don't even know what it looks like because it was so dark. I couldn't even see it. It was some sort of blob thing, I think. Phalanx or something. But who could tell? It was just so dark. You can't see anything. And if, but it's hard. I fell to my death a few times because I couldn't see anything. And I don't think I'm going to play it anymore now that I finished the first boss. I don't know. Maybe I would. I did feel...
You beat me, so...
Yeah, I felt a victory. But you know what? If you started with the royalty class, you would have gotten farther.
See, that's my problem. My character didn't have any projectiles.
You need projectiles. For sure. Especially ones that one-kill enemies. One-hit kill enemies. So I don't know. It's... I'm surprised that it got such good review scores because, I don't know, the camera's not great. It's not very smooth and you can't see anything. That's kind of a big problem for me. I don't know. And you know what? The way that it works is if you die during the game, you lose all your experience. And you have to go back and find where you died and then you can get your experience back. But that can be a very long trip depending on how far you are in the level. So I dropped about 2,500 souls somewhere. I was not, and it was very far, and I was not happy. And plus, like, nothing makes sense in the game. Like, the story, I have no... They're telling me to do things. I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know. I didn't see what all the fuss was about, why the game was being reviewed so well. But hey, if you liked it, good. For me, I'm more of a Family Feud guy, which I bought.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some Family Feud.
Well, first of all, I have to say... That's not Family Feud.
Sure it is. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, I was doing the bass line.
Oh, okay. We could work together on that. I think I used that as a show opening one time.
Wouldn't surprise me.
How could you not?
So, first of all, there's a little drama that I discovered while trying to get Family Feud. While I'm trying to buy the game, it keeps giving me like this generic error code. Error code number something, 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 something. That's the error. It won't let me buy the game. So I go Google it and people are saying that this is caused by not having the proper credit card credentials or your address is wrong or something. It seemed weird to me since I've never had a problem before. It also seemed weird to me that it's 2010 and my high-tech, super high-tech video game console is giving me an error message as a number and not just saying what the problem is. But okay, I have Google, try to figure it out. I look into my credit card information, I see it had a credit card in there that I didn't really want to use anyway, so I changed it to my business credit card, and still nothing, still not working. I post on Twitter, somebody from PlayStation contacts me, they tell me to fill out a trouble ticket. Then I'm like, well, let me try buying some other stuff. And it won't let me buy anything. So now I'm thinking, did Sony region lock their PlayStation store? And turns out that's exactly what they did. The PlayStation store, at least if you're in Japan, the American PlayStation store is not available to you anymore if you have a Japanese IP address. However, I found a workaround because you can... I'm almost like hesitant to tell you what the workaround is because I don't want to blow it for me, but I guess I'll tell you, sort of. You can go on the website and you can add funds to your wallet via, you know, like the PlayStation website, and it still checks your IP address, but if you can stop it from checking your IP address, then it doesn't know where you're coming from and it just lets you do it. So I added $25 to my account because the two choices are $10 or $25, and the game cost $10 plus tax, so I had to go $25. But that being said, Family Feud, it was pretty good. Like, it was kind of fun. I would have probably enjoyed it. I would have probably liked it to be $5, but I played two games online multiplayer. I went 2-0, and overall, I thought they did a pretty good job with it. Maybe, like, the best feature is the actual entering of the answers. It's not multiple choice. You have to type in the answers. But once you start typing in a few letters, then it becomes multiple choice, which I thought is a really good way of doing it. I mean, what do you think, Shep?
No, I thought that was a pretty good way. That I liked it as it doesn't show you multiple choice before you start typing.
Right, exactly.
That was one of the problems with that terrible version of Jeopardy that's on PSN, is that it just came out and gave you four choices. This one, you actually have to know kind of
what yes, you have to be in. Typing something that is close to what you.
Yeah, it does lead to you knowing that you're not going to be right on some of them because they're not in the dictionary.
Right, so, but you don't have that much time to get them in. So
no, yeah, 15 seconds. So yeah, it's so
you
quick.
So you're not gonna, you can't really, you know, game the system that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not spectacular, but it's a solid version of Family Feud. It gets the job done.
I gotta make one complaint though, and I almost was like, oh my god, I wasted $10 on this stupid game. The first question, the first, you know, round of questions was, how many hours does a teenage girl talk on a telephone per
I
day?
I had that question too.
Which top is the, five was answers the first on one? The board.
Was it your first question?
No, it was one of my the final round questions.
Oh, Fast Money?
Yeah, Fast Money.
Okay, it makes more questions. Sense for Fast Money because obviously you're just going to enter in numbers. You're just going to go 1 to 10, and those were the answers. I think one of the numbers wasn't, I think 8 wasn't there. But I was like, oh my God, you must be shitting me. I have to know. And I didn't buzz in time, so I got to watch the other person just type in 1, 2, 3. So annoying. But the questions got much better after that one.
Yeah. And there was, I had one question that was name an animal that bites.
Oh, okay.
And I got a couple of the easy ones. And then I guess bear, because that seemed kind of obvious to me.
Okay.
That wasn't on there. Okay. And I eventually got 3 strikes and it went to the other team to steal.
Shark.
And they
is shark
they guessed,
on the board?
Shark was one of the ones on the board, yes. Yeah. It made the survey. They guessed bear as well when it was their chance to try to steal.
Nice. Way to pay attention. You can see what the other person is entering in if you're paying attention. Well, did you win?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, I mean $20,000. $20,000 in a trophy with a Matrix reference.
What was it? I forgot. I got it too.
You were playing against the Anderson.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that one. I got it. Yeah. Okay, I got a different one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's good. If you like Family Feud, you should buy it. If you don't, then don't buy it. Pretty much that's it. What's this next story? Who put that there? I didn't do it.
I didn't. Monkey Paw.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back to work.
A company called Monkey Paw. I was enjoying my sweet tea.
Mm. I'm drinking a beer.
How is it?
It's good. It's a Blue Moon.
Good. Blue Moon. That's a woman's beer.
It's not a woman's beer. It's a Belgian white.
Mm. My wife really likes Blue Moon.
It's because your wife's really a man. Back to your story.
Oh, my God.
Nah, Blue Moon's all right.
Kazoo.
Monkey Paw is importing Japanese PlayStation classics to the PSN in the U.S. So they've announced what the first 5 games are, and this is kind of an exciting thing, at least for me. Like, I think this is a good use of the service, bringing out games that we never got a chance to play unless you imported them or modded your system or whatever. So they're bringing out Chouaniki, which everybody knows is the homoerotic shooter.
Right.
And they are bringing out a couple of, I think, another shmup and like a RPG based on the Magical Drop puzzle series.
They're doing a full localization, right? I'm assuming.
I don't know, unless it doesn't need much reading.
Well, RPG is going to need to have English.
They're mainly like puzzle games, fighting games, and shooting games.
Hmm.
Which I'm looking for. I'll buy Chouaniki.
That's pretty cool, actually. You would buy Chouaniki.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like it. What else we got?
We also have a lot of Joe Danger talk.
Yeah, I was reading this Kotaku one. That's pretty funny.
They were at this developer conference too. So the one of the developers for Joe Danger, Kotaku has a story on the dumb reasons publishers passed on PS3 hit Joe Danger. And Wombat, why don't you read some of these?
Sure, a little game developer theater here. I'll be the guy at the theater, at the developer. You could be the guys pitching me Joe Danger. You ready? And 1, 2, 3, go. Action.
All right, so this is Joe Danger. It's a fun little motorcycle game where you can do tricks, and there's all this kinds of stuff to collect, and we think it's going to be a big hit. We really like what we've done here.
I don't know. Collecting giant coins feels unrealistic to me.
Okay, I understand that, but people like to collect giant coins. That, like Mario, he collects coins all the time. You got Sonic collecting the rings.
I could see it working as a Facebook app.
Facebook is good. We have a Facebook page. We can link to the game on Facebook if you'd like.
The game's a lot of fun, you know. The game's really a lot of fun. Everyone who plays it has a great time. You know, it's a lot of fun.
We want games that are less about fun right now. Can Joe be a monkey?
We
really like monkeys. And scene.
That is pretty weird. People are, just goes to show you that just because somebody has a job in the gaming industry doesn't mean they know anything. We want games that are less about fun right now. What do they want? Games that are torture? Well, then I recommend Demon's Souls. Pick that up right now. I was kidding. It wasn't that much torture, Demon's Souls. That is weird. I like Joe Danger. I played a bunch of it.
Yeah, Joe Danger is a fun game. And
doesn't
then
need monkeys.
He also went on less crazy talk here. He went on to say that the reason they came out on PSN and why it's an exclusive on PSN is because he says, Xbox Live Arcade is kind of a slaughterhouse for smaller developers. There are games that do amazingly well, but there's two titles released every week, and a lot of those are falling in that 25,000 sales or less category. And apparently Joe Danger sold 50,000 in its first week, which they broke even on in the first week.
So he says that 47% of all games on Xbox Live Arcade fail to sell more than 25,000 copies.
That doesn't shock me that much, to be perfectly honest.
There's a lot of games on Xbox Live Arcade.
And a lot of bad games on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, I would venture to say the good ones usually sell okay. I don't have anything to back that up with, but I see on my friends list that usually people buy the good ones.
Well, you know, the easiest way to do that is to check the leaderboards and see what number last place is.
Yeah.
And that can give you a rough idea on how many people have purchased the full version of that game.
Right. Or at least purchased and played it.
Exactly. At least purchased and played it.
Right.
I think it's just a habit, too, to go after the games that have the big backing of the companies that you know or the licenses you know on Xbox Live as well. So as an indie, like it probably does make more sense to go where the market is less crowded on PSN and it's kind of more embraced over there.
But why be exclusive? Do they get some sort of deal, I guess, being exclusive?
I would assume they would, hopefully.
They do. I forgot what it was. I remember you do get something. Maybe you get a better revenue share. Something like that. There was some advantage for being exclusive on PS3 for PSN. Anyway, speaking of Xbox Live Arcade, this brings us right to Microsoft. And this week, South Park Tower Defense is on sale for $5. And I remember that Shipwreck played this game, and I think you liked it, right?
I did. I'm not even a big South Park guy, and I had fun with the game.
I'm kind of a big South Park guy, although I haven't watched it recently, but so maybe I'll get this and play it with Mrs. Cheapy.
Oh, you don't have it yet. I thought you were leading into, you were going to tell me about how much you were enjoying it.
No, I haven't had a chance to really get it or play it.
It's a fun tower defense game that I know you played Pixel Junk Monsters, and you liked that,
yeah, we
liked
that. Yeah, we liked that.
This is different enough from that you don't feel like you're playing the same game.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You have direct attacks and movement of the different South Park characters, as well as building the towers.
Oh, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, I can see liking it.
It's a good game.
Yeah. I'm going to buy it right now, actually, while I'm talking to you.
Wow, that's impressive.
Great.
so I don't forget. Yeah, I like buying stuff on the Xbox Live website. It's very convenient. Just one or two clicks and it's mine. That way I can lock in that $5 price.
Yes. And smart. I talked a little bit about this last week, Xbox Live Arcade game Ancients of Uga from Ninjabee. That I said last week was a lot like Cloning Clyde. It still is, but unfortunately I finished the game and I just don't think it's as well thought out as Cloning Clyde was.
Yeah, I started it over the weekend and I love Ninjabee and I, you know, love every other game they've ever made. But this one, I feel like the tutorial hasn't ended and I think I'm on level 8 or 9.
The thing is, I finished the game and I thought the tutorial never ended.
It's
really, really easy and really slow. Like, I don't know if it's, there's a lot of like fart jokes and puke jokes and stuff. So maybe they're going for a younger audience, but at the same time, there's also like, weed jokes and everything in there as well.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's the whole rock based, version of the Ugalinis or Uganis that are the little gremlin creatures in the game. The rock version of them are called the Stoners and they're like kind of aloof and everything.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'll pass on that, but I just bought South Park. So
yeah, the weird thing is like, I can't complain about the quality or the premise of Ancients of Uga and it's got like the same kind of Ninja Bee charm to it that all their games do. It's just, it's not interesting. It's just,
it's missing something. There's just, it doesn't have that spark. I don't know. But yeah, it's like the premise is good. The idea, the look is good. It just doesn't, when you're playing it, you're like, I should be having fun, but I'm not.
Yeah, I like early in the game, I had to like play in 15 minute spells and then get up and like do something else because I just, it couldn't keep my attention for more than 15 minutes.
Hmm.
But that's kind of a bummer. I wanted to really like it.
All right. I wanted to, this is sort of just like a funny thing that where I got a, you know, I do like the Google alerts thing and I got a Google alert because somebody brought up the Xbox Pure and I'm sort of racing to try to find what blog said it. But they mentioned about the Xbox Pure sort of prank.
Game Blagu?
Yeah, I mean, but they mentioned that too. Something Awful did a parody of Kotaku on their site, and they called it Game Blagu, which I thought was pretty funny. I doubt the Kotaku guys think it's funny, and I feel bad for Brian Ashcraft because he's a good guy, and he kind of got it the worst, I think, out of everybody.
We can talk about this seriously. Like,
okay.
What is Kotaku doing over there? Like, are they a game site now, or are they trying to become more of a just culture site?
Well, like, they're still called the Gamer's Guide, right?
But maybe every fourth story is directly related to gaming. Like, if it's reaching their audience, that's great. It's good for them. But I just don't get what their direction is right now.
Because they're posting a lot of stuff that you sort of have to struggle to find the connection to video games.
Right. Right? Like they post pictures of cars in Japan. And I don't get that.
I mean, look, they're entitled to do whatever they want.
There's right. No, I definitely. Like I don't like mean that their site is terrible or anything. I just don't, for me, I don't get the appeal.
You wonder why.
Right, yeah. It's just odd to me.
I think, I mean, I'm going to try to guess. I think they're just trying to, they do a lot of posts a day. Okay. That's one of their goals, I think, is to put up a lot of posts a day. And they're trying to put up stuff that they think will appeal to gamers, I guess. And they feel like that stuff is interesting to gamers. And they also must not feel that they need to just, everything they post needs to have like a super solid connection to gaming. And, you know, Crescente runs the site and that's his prerogative to take it in whatever direction he wants. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to read it. And that's like the thing. I mean, it is a blog. So they list summaries of all the stories on the front page. And if you don't like the story, you don't have to read it.
It's hard to go through even my RSS reader, though, with their stuff now, honestly. Well, because I'll see a gaming story that I'll go like, oh, I want to check that out later. But then when I come back, it's been buried like so far deep underneath stuff that I don't have any interest in.
Right.
That I just go and find it somewhere else.
Do you know, take a guess how many stories they post a day?
30. You
know? 50.
50, yeah. It's about 50. It's a little less than 50. 47, I think of what it was. And that's, let me stick up for my friend Ashcraft. He does the night shift, you know, because he's on Japan time. So if you're wondering, you know, he's the one who got made fun of the most on Game Blagu. So there's probably not that many stories left for him by the time he goes to post something. So maybe that's why you see Ferraris and stuff. Anyway, it is a funny parody. You got to admit that even, you know, I don't think maybe the Kotaku guys thought it was that funny, but it is pretty funny. Game Blagu. Whoever wrote it, obviously, like Shipwreck told me last night, they obviously spent a lot of time reading Kotaku because they did a pretty good job.
And it's a recent shift. Like, it's probably, yes, like within the last 3 months, maybe.
Yeah, we've seen articles about like people smelling bad. We've seen articles about, there was an article about airships, and there was not a mention of a single video game. And I get it, the references to like Final Fantasy or something, but it was a really long article about airships. I was like, wow, airships. But hey, you know what? I wasn't interested in airships and I didn't read it. I scanned it to see if there was a, you know, a connection, but there wasn't any.
Yeah, definitely nothing negative about it. It's just an interesting kind of shift in what their website is.
Yeah, I mean, hey, maybe they get more views that way. Maybe it's working out well for them. And I don't know. None of our business, but we do read it, so I guess it is our business. We can talk about it. And they also have coupon partners now for their deal posts, and we're not one of them. Cheap Ass Gamer, I think it got blacklisted from Kotaku. Blackballed.
Really? I wonder why.
I don't know. What do you mean you wonder why? We weren't ripping on them there.
No.
That was just a discussion. That was a critical discussion.
Critical discussion is healthy for everybody.
Of course. Yeah. So they start doing a... It was really weird, actually. I'll tell you the story really quickly. So they do like a... One of the writers there, Owen Good, does a weekly deal post there on Saturday or Sunday. And he's been doing it for a while, and every once in a while, you know, there'd be some stuff from CAG on there, and, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh, really? I don't care either way. But, you know, it was sort of nice. I'd rather see it than not. I'd rather see CAG mentioned than not see it mentioned, I guess. And a couple weeks ago, he asked me to help him out on an article. He interviewed me for an article about, it was the EA Online Pass and its effect on used games. He sent me, like, a bunch of questions, and I was, you know, always happy to talk about that stuff. So I wrote it back to him, and, you know, he posted, and it was good. And then his latest deal post came out, and at the end of the deal post, it said, we'd like to thank our coupon partners. And he listed a bunch of sites, and CAG was not one of them. And since they started this coupon partner thing, CAG is not ever listed on the post. And I just thought that was weird. It's like, if you think about video game deals, pretty much think of Cheap Ass Gamer. Like, you know, and to never mention us, it just seems really awkward, I guess. Like, you're purposely not mentioning us for some reason. And I don't know. I just thought that was weird. But meanwhile, G4 TV asked me to do a weekly post on their site for game deals, and they're very nice about it. They let me plug whatever I want, and they're very cool about it. So,
when does that start?
That started. It started on Monday.
I didn't know that. Is it up now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
G4TV.com?
Yeah, it was in there. It's in there on their blog, their news blog. And it's actually G4TV.com is a pretty popular site.
It's very popular.
Yeah. So I was happy. It was really good timing when they asked me to do it. I was like, actually, yeah, I'll be your coupon partner. So yeah, I mean, basically, I just take the Sunday ad post and add some other deals to it, and that's the post. People seem to like it. So, woo. So good news, bad news, right? That's how things work.
So you're talking about Xbox Pure. What was this about?
Oh, well, you know what's also funny about that? Because when you mentioned it this morning, because it's almost 2 years from that. If you read a lot of the...
2 years ago was the September was the Xbox Pure post.
Yes. And if you read a lot of the posts about it that other sites put up, there's a lot of, you know, you could read some of the comments, and a lot of the comments are people speculating that Xbox is making a smaller, slim version, which I think is funny because now that's true.
And you were saying we should call the new, since it's really not the Xbox Slim, the new one, we should just call it Xbox Pure.
Exactly. So from now on, when we refer to the Xbox Pure, we're talking about the new Xbox.
The new 250 gigabyte Xbox. That's the new official name. I'm going to talk to Major Nelson about that, actually.
Yeah, it should be called the Xbox Pure.
Yeah, they can take it. I'm happy to give that to them.
Free naming.
And then everybody will be happy, because then Kotaku won't feel bad about running the bad rumor, because it'll turn out to have been true. Right?
Right.
And then I'll be their coupon partner. Probably not. All right. What else we got here? Anybody? Who put these on here? Take the reins.
Oh,
did I do it?
Sorry.
I might have done it.
No, I did that one.
Oh.
The Destination Arcade will only be available during the summer of arcade.
Yeah, we talked about it last week, the new method for browsing the arcade. I guess it's just a one-off promotion for the four or five games that are coming out this summer.
Well, here's what's weird about it. It's only available to download during the summer of arcade. But after that, after the summer of arcade, the app will still work.
But it's only going to have the summer arcade games in it?
No, it'll have everything in it. But you can only download
it
during the...
It won't be updating like the sales page and stuff.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Exactly.
This is weird.
It's a weird something that makes no sense. Here's the real question. Why is Microsoft letting go all the cool people that seem to know what they were doing at their company, and yet everyone who continues to work there seems to screw everything up? What's that about?
I don't know. That happens a lot in big business.
It does, right?
Who are you referring to that got let go? Nelson and company?
And recently we had some friends there that were let go.
Oh, Jake.
Yep.
Yes, Jake.
Big Jake.
He was good at his job, too. So I don't know what happened there, but he was really on top of stuff.
And he was very visible. You could always find him anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hopefully he finds another great position somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of those things about, you know, doing what we do. We meet a lot of nice, great people in this industry, and when they get let go, you kind of take it personally against the company that let them go.
Of course.
So they are.
I mean, I don't know if I take it personally.
Well, not personally. You know what I mean.
A faceless company.
Yeah.
Giant company.
I didn't throw out my 360 or anything.
Oh, I did.
You didn't do like a... Well, you know when we talk about Nelson Rodriguez and remember the GamerScore blog guys that got fired? His wife, Natalie, stopped playing Xbox after they got fired. I think they both did. Yeah, she stopped for a year.
Okay, because I was going to say they have their show back up now, right?
Right, but they don't really talk about games that much anymore. Like, there's a very little game talk. I mean, it's only like a half-hour show, but there's maybe 5 minutes of game talk during that show. It's Achievement Junkie, by the way. It's back. I subscribe to it. I listen.
I'll have to re-up. I liked their show before, so.
Oh, and speaking of podcasts, we got a very nice shout-out on... Weekend Confirmed.
Yes, we did.
Shack News podcast.
Our good friend Christian Spicer.
Yep.
Gave us a shout out.
In the first,
we also got shout outs on Joystick and Tech Gaming as well.
We did.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Oh, what did they say on Joystick?
They talked about how Ship and I spoke to Dennis Dyack.
They talked about how I'm an asshole.
No, they talked about your graciousness actually, and said that you were a wonderful guy, and that they hope to spend more time with you in the future.
I don't think they said that.
No, they didn't say anything like that. They didn't even mention you. But, you know, it was nice in theory.
That's fine. Okay, so what else we have in Microsoft? So Walmart's offering a $200 Kinect bundle that includes a Kinect game and a $30 gift card. But they still say they don't know what the price is going to be of Kinect. That they're just sort of guessing. So if Kinect turns out to be $200, it's a really good deal.
Well, won't they just change the price?
I don't know.
Or just adjust the gift card accordingly?
I don't know. Don't ask me. And who put this Alan Wake one on here?
I did, because it's kind of sad.
Uh-oh.
But Remedy is, they're saying that it has legs despite the poor sales. And what's worrying me is that it only sold 145,000 copies in the U.S. In May. That was over a two-week span, I guess, when it came out. But the sequel could be in jeopardy here. And that's bad news.
Yeah. I mean, this is my favorite game of the year so far.
I wish I liked it as much
as
you.
Over Mass Effect 2?
Oh, I don't know. It's close. That's going to be close. I don't know. I liked it as much as I liked Matt. I just really was into it. I don't know why. The story, I guess, really just sucked. The whole narrative just sucked me in. I just needed to know what happened next. Couldn't put it down. Just like a good book. I'm still, and that DLC should come out in like a week or so, right? 2 weeks?
Something. It was this month. But he's basically saying that he's hoping word of mouth about the game will continue to sell copies of Alan Wake. So I figured I'd bring it up and try to help.
Right. Yeah. People should buy it. Especially buy it at Kmart this week. $35. The good news is that the guy from Remedy didn't say that the game has a long tail. He used the proper phrase. He said it has legs. When anyone uses the phrase long tail to describe a product selling over a long period of time, they're using it wrong. So you should ridicule them. Often and early. Doesn't have anything to do with that. Look it up on Wikipedia. Anyway.
Go buy Alan Wake.
And yeah, that's the more important
part. It's $35 at Kmart. Go get it.
Go get it. You get that free DLC. You have till Saturday. All right.
Pick up Split Second, too. It only sold 86,000 copies, and that's a good game as well.
Oy.
Blur, I haven't played it yet. Blur,
well, you know, it's a
units.
Tough market out there, and not every game is worth $60. And I think that, I don't know, do you think that Split Second or would have sold more if it was released at 30? Would it have sold, I guess, three times as much in order to make more than it would have done if it sold double? I mean, that's...
I doubt it.
No.
I think it would... It's smart to put it out at $60, see what you can get at 60, and then lower the price accordingly after that.
The problem is it came out at the same time as Blur, and people were like, I don't know what to get. Maybe I won't buy either.
I think there were probably even a lot of people out there that didn't even know they were two different games.
They thought it was the same game.
They didn't know. It's like, oh, I want that driving game.
And Split Second sold three times as many as Blur. So
it did?
Pretty much. Split Second sold 86,000, and Blur only sold 31,000 units.
Oy.
That's sad.
All right, let's move on. I guess the NPD numbers are coming out this week.
Yeah, it'll go up since Best Buy had Blur for $10 there for a while.
So. Right, it should have done well. It was like a $20 coupon and they had it on sale for 30 or something?
Something along those lines. I picked it up for $10. I just haven't played it yet.
Right. I didn't pick it up and I feel like I should have.
I'd get it for $10.
I know, and everyone kept... Then I got like a ton of emails from people like, hey, don't forget to pick it up for $10. And I still didn't.
And you forgot.
I just, right, you know, I have too many things to do.
Let's move on to Nintendo. What is this? The 3DS design is confirmed as final.
Yep. I put that on there. There you go. All right. That's the news.
That's it?
That's it.
That's all we got?
That's all I got.
iPhone and iMac and Mac. This is funny because somebody put it via Twitter and said, Cheapy, after bashing the iPad for months, I was wondering how you liked it. I think it's a great gadget. And as I mentioned earlier, I didn't really bash it, first of all. I just said I wasn't interested in it. But I became a lot more interested in it when my wife got her iPhone 4 and I didn't. So I need something to shove
in her face. If the iPad's so great, a kakonas, then why didn't you just send him your tweet from your Android?
Naha.
Hot shot.
It was iPad.
iPad.
Right.
Still, you could have tweeted from that.
Right. Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll have it for next week's show, so I'll talk about it there. Also, this was really interesting. So Consumer Reports wrote up this review for the iPhone and basically said they really liked it, but they can't recommend it because of the antenna problem, with the, you know, ruining the signal. And so people started posting about it on the Apple forums, And Apple, the moderators there, just deleted all references to it, which is really like a bonehead move. Because
that's not smart.
Because what that ensures is that every single website is going to post that Apple is deleting these threads. So all these websites, they're already going to be posting about the Consumer Reports thing. That's a given. Nothing you can do to stop that. But now you've given them another story to post about. That you are basically assholes and you're trying to hide information from people. It's like, why do that? They must have the same consultant that had the idea for the real names at the Blizzard forums. Because really, it's just common sense. I mean, just put 5 seconds of thought into it and you'll realize it's a bonehead move. All right, let's move on to the CAG bag. Show us your tweets.
Oh, 1 second. I did since we're in the Mac section, yeah, PC section as well, I did get my OnLive account set up today. I haven't tried it out yet. I got it just before the show started.
Oh, okay. So, well, that was a question, actually. So Swox writes in via Twitter, and he says he wants to know about the potential impact of OnLive on the video game industry landscape and your opinions on the service.
Well, next week, both Shipwreck and I will have our opinions, as we both have OnLive.
Did you play it at all, Ship?
No, I literally just set up my account, which I was happy. I got Shipwreck on Live. That's my username.
Sweet. So. I watched the video review of it, and it looked really impressive to me. I mean, the thing that looked, and you should check this out, is that when you have people on your friends list, you can see, you don't just see like in text what game they're playing. You see exactly what they're looking at on their screen. You know, you see, you know, their gameplay, exactly what's going on. And then you can just jump right in and watch. It's like, and it's all instant. It's really looked impressive to me. So yeah, I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say, since you'll both be playing it on MacBooks or iMac. So that should be pretty interesting.
I have to figure out how to get a Ethernet cable to my computers, though, because my
I have to figure that out too. I'm like, I have no idea where any of my cables are, but I'll find one.
And
somewhere.
You guys, you can buy if you have a wired Xbox 360 controller, you can use it.
I bet I can get around the wired function, maybe, because I have what are those called? The AirTunes type things that you just plug into the wall and it extends your network.
Oh.
And then those have Ethernet cables that come out of them.
Oh, maybe. I'm talking about the controller. I'm talking about, instead of using a mouse and keyboard to play the game.
I don't have a wired Xbox controller. No. So, yeah.
All right. Well, here's some more questions. Mr. Grinch 98 writes in, Wombat, forever you've been preaching for a Twisted Metal game on PS3. How excited are you that Sony is finally producing this game? And also, what are your thoughts on the awful G4 interview at E3 with Olivia Munn and David Jaffe with the penis questions, which I'm sure you didn't see.
I did not see that. I am excited, though, for the new Twisted Metal. I really hope they put some thought into those storylines, because, oddly enough, the best part of Twisted Metal Black was the story for each character.
It was. Totally. I played through every character.
Just to see what their story was.
Yeah, of course.
I know.
And my wife loved it, even though it was just, it was like three short videos. You know, one at the beginning of the campaign, one in the middle, and one at the end. And each one ended with the Rolling Stones Painted Black. And it was awesome.
And if you don't feel like playing Twisted Metal Black, you can watch all of it on YouTube, and it's actually worth watching.
They're really, like, creepy.
Super creepy. I got, like, literally creeped out by a lot of them.
Yeah, we played through every character, and we loved it. Basically just for those short little videos. I don't know if that's going to fly in this day and
age.
That's
really what it comes down to, because when I played that game, I mean, the PlayStation 2 was new.
Yeah, so I don't know what they have to do to, but they need something like that that's going to hook you in.
Yeah, there's got to be a carrot. I mean, you know, that's something else we talk about on the show. A game without a carrot isn't worth playing.
Right.
So there.
Okay, Arcade Stick writes in via Twitter. He says, with over 120,000 people checking out the Evo 2010 stream on G4 this weekend, do you think the game tournament broadcast could work on TV? I'm glad he brought this up, because I watched this. This was a big you know, big fighting game tournament that was taking place in Las Vegas, and they actually streamed it on G4 and on Ustream. And first of all, it was a complete disaster for a couple of reasons. I mean, the big reason was that so I'm watching this thing, and it's really, you know, sort of interesting to watch really skilled Street Fighter 4 players play against each other. And so I watch a few of the matches, and it's time for the finals. And it's this American guy versus a Japanese guy, and the Japanese guy is the favorite, but the American guy, you know, anybody can win, though. It's just, you know, it's Street Fighter. It's really exciting, and the American guy is holding his own, and he's hanging in there. It's the finals, and all of a sudden, the stream just dies. And everyone's, like, freaking out in the chat room, and it never comes back. When it comes back, it's over. And the Japanese guy had won. So you missed the finals because the technology wasn't good enough. To answer Arcade Stick's question, 120,000 people sounds like a lot of people. And actually for G4, even for like their cable TV network, that might be a lot of people. But for like any like legitimate television broadcast, that's pretty low. So I don't know. This is going to have to be... I mean, sure, this works for G4. G4.
I think they could put it like as part of another program, like just splice it into Attack of the Show or whatever when you have like the final match or whatever it happens. But as its own, like just broadcasting like video games competitions, I don't think that's gonna.
Once in a while, or you know,
how are they presented anyways? Are you just like behind the guys looking at them play?
No, or? You're watching the actual stream off the console.
It sounds pretty, I mean, I have trouble sitting on my couch and watching someone else play a game, let alone putting on my TV and watching someone else play a game on a show.
Yeah, I mean, but this was sort of unique in that it was in Vegas, there was a huge amount of people in the room watching. You know, it was like a big ballroom, and there was like, I think, almost 2,000 people in there watching
it. It's like those
live
poker shows. I don't get those either, so.
Right. Well, here's the worst part. So they had a play-by-play and color guy doing the broadcast. And the play-by-play, I mean, it was Adam Sessler, and it was Seth Killian, who's like the Capcom guy, right?
Correct.
So obviously, Seth Killian knows his shit. I mean, he's like helps probably make the games and stuff, and he knows.
He's the reason Seth is called Seth in Street Fighter.
Right.
4.
So he can say like when somebody does a move, he can say, "Oh, this guy did a super cancel whatever whatchamagod." Now
I love
Sessler,
the super cancel whatchamagod.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but you could tell he knew what he was talking about. The problem is Sessler, while he's a professional broadcaster, he had no idea what the hell was going on, and he was talking a lot and saying nothing. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I've just been doing that for the last hour and 27 minutes.
It was really awkward. There was like no reason for him to really open his mouth half as much as he did. But I don't know.
Can you make it, isn't it a little dry?
But he wasn't saying anything. He was just like, oh, so he didn't like even know, really understand
so
what was going on.
So that's how you do a super cancel whatchamaga.
It was just like there was just no reason for him to say anything. They should have had two guys on there. They could have found another guy who knew what was going on. Like DJ Wheat. DJ Wheat would have done a great job. And I understand why they have Cecil there. And I like the stuff that Sessler does normally. It was just this was not his element.
Well, you work for him now, so you better be nice to him.
I don't work for him. They don't pay me.
Well, there you go.
And Sessler has nothing to do with that site, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. That's what they want you to think.
That could go away tomorrow. It would not affect my life at all.
Just make sure every other word is CAGcast.
There's a great deal on CAGcast this week at CAGcast.com.
Exactly. Good work.
Thank you. Not Brandon Crane writes in via Twitter. He says, you said there were a lot of pre-orders for Kinect after E3 on Amazon. Any way to see how many of those have been canceled? I don't recall ever saying that. Did I say that?
Who knows? You say lots of things.
We probably talked about it. It was in the top five sellers on Amazon.
That's what I said. That's what we said. I wasn't talking about orders on CAG. I said they were. It was on the best sellers list on Amazon. Okay, that's what I didn't understand what he was talking about. So I read this and I looked up my in the affiliate program to see how many orders there were for Kinect between May 1st and today. And it was 30. Now, just to give you an idea, I mean, first of all, it's an expensive item and, you know, it's not coming out for a while, so you don't expect a lot. But the next highest item was 32, and it was like some piece of plastic that you put on a PlayStation controller. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say that people are really fired up for the Kinect. You know what? I was actually surprised it was that high, to be honest with you. I was expecting like 4. So, yeah. Let's see. FXH Mantis via Twitter says, he'd like to know if you think the introduction of teaching music play? Was that English? Teaching music in music games was in part due to criticism of musicians.
Maybe criticism from musicians? I'd like to know if you think that the introduction of teaching music in music games was in part due to the criticism from musicians.
I hope that English is not your first language. And if it is, I apologize. If it's not, I apologize for making fun of you.
And if it is, you should be ashamed of yourself by a book.
Right. You should not play any more games until you can string a sentence together. No, come on, really.
That looks like a wombat sentence, too.
Man, wombat's not allowed to make fun of anybody. Well, yeah. Well, this guy, he didn't even do it from his cell phone. It says TweetDeck. I think that's a desktop thing. I'm pretty sure anything that they put into Rock Band 3 is because they think that it'll sell more copies. I don't think they really care what musicians say about their game.
I don't know. I think I get a feeling from Harmonix that they generally really like music. And so they're actually put in features that they want to see.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess. And a lot of them are musicians. The guys who are probably working there probably are
a lot. Because I don't see the pro mode selling a lot of copies.
But don't you think it's just something nice that they can say against their competition?
Sure, but I think most of the people who play these games are never going to touch the pro mode, just like most of the people never touched the music creator stuff and whatever game had that.
Right.
All right. These are party games.
It's not for teaching you how to play.
It's great that they have that much passion for what they do and everything. And if they have time to develop all this stuff the way I see this stuff for me, the consumer, is if they're developing these different things and it leads to new fun gameplay mechanics, then everybody wins. If they're just doing their own pet project and it works for them, that's great, but I'm never going to touch it. But if it gives me a new feature, like being able to play the piano on Rock Band, that's great. I love that.
And maybe actually learning how to play the songs in real life by accident.
I have no interest in that.
Really? I do.
That ship has sailed. I'm 31 years old. I'm never going to learn how to play an instrument to the level that I wouldn't just listen to somebody else play an instrument.
I see. I can fake playing the piano a little bit, so I could actually learn something.
I used to be good at the guitar like 10 years ago.
Right. I used to play the trumpet. I used to be good at the trumpet.
That explains a lot.
I used to play sports.
Are you saying that I blow?
That's kind of where I was going.
All right. One more question here that has nothing to do with video games. Albert Gomez via Facebook wants to know if we've heard the Mel Gibson audio tapes and what do we think. At first, I thought it was just funny, but after he goes on, it's a little disturbing. It's a little disturbing? You thought it was funny? You got a weird sense of humor.
Whatever. You're a whore and you should be sucking my dick.
Well, he didn't say that.
He says that. Doesn't he say that?
No. He says, you're a whore, you dress like a whore, and you're going to be raped by a pack of N-words.
Yeah. But he does mention her performing fellatio on him.
Not in the tape I heard.
I think in one of the other ones.
Well, they played it on Howard Stern, and I think they would have played that part. Maybe there's a new one.
There's a new one.
Oh,
there's
sweet.
Three now.
There's three?
There's always a new one.
Oh, my God. He really self-destructed. It's pretty amazing, because he... After saying all that Jew stuff, he sort of managed to come back. Like, people sort of forgot about it.
People will forgive you one time.
And for Jew stuff. Like, Stern did a whole rap on this. He's like, you can get away with saying bad stuff against the Jews, because really, there's not that many Jews out there in America. It's a very small percentage of the population. And everybody picks on the Jews. So it's like,
the Jews
okay.
pick on the Jews.
Exactly. And then he said some anti-gay stuff. And look, the gays get picked on all the time. You can get away with that. But the N-word, saying raped by a pack of N-words, you cannot get away with that. Never. And in fact, his William Morris agency dropped him.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a big deal.
Immediately. So yeah. So that's, he's done, I guess. And he's obviously has some sort of big problem. I don't know if it's like a drinking problem.
I think he needs to do a comeback movie that's a buddy cop movie that's kind of like Lethal Weapon, but now he's the older partner and his younger partner is played by Chris Brown.
Is that the guy who beat up
Yes.
Rihanna?
Uh-huh.
Nice. That'd be good. And then he can be raped by and a pack of...
There you go.
Whiteys.
The movie could be called Comeback, and it would be, you know... And they wind up shooting a lot of people.
Right. So, hey, I'm in. All right. Last question, and then we'll be totally done with all the questions. He says, Duran 603 says, Cheapy, when is the last time you've actually played a Wii game? And he sees I go mute when the discussion turns to the Wii. Honestly, I cannot even remember the last time. I don't even have my Wii plugged in. It's not even in my... I don't even
you
know where it is.
Donkey Kong Country at E3.
That was the last time. I didn't play, though. I watched you play.
No, you played some too, right? You played next to me. We played side by side.
I don't recall that happening. Oh, you're right. I played something. Was it Donkey Kong?
Yeah, you played it before I did.
You're right. I did. I did something. I guess. It was really memorable, as you could tell. Anyway, I hope that was a memorable show for everybody out there in fake internet land. I want to remind you to please follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/cheapyd, twitter.com/wombat5277, and twitter.com/shipwreck. If you want the video game deals, it's video game deals. And if you're in the UK, it's UK game deals. Please review us on iTunes. We really appreciate your efforts to help us move up the charts there. Subscribe to us on iTunes and review us on iTunes. That is the formula for success on iTunes. iTunes.
Did you mention the iTunes?
Yes. Also, I will mention GoDaddy.com and our coupon codes, 10% off any order, CAG10, $5 off $30 order with CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain names with CAG domain. That's GoDaddy.com for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Anything you need to plug, Wombat or Shipwreck?
Wombat should be able to tell us about Hour of Victory next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And tomorrow night, tonight, I guess, since this is up on Wednesday, I'll be at an EA presser. So I'll have fun stuff to talk about next week.
Do you know what it's about?
I do. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the games that are there yet, though.
Oh, you're going to like an event?
Yeah.
Not just, okay, cool. Where is it? Well, I guess you can't say. You'll tell me later.
Some hotel. How's that?
Cool. Some hotel. Sounds great.
And I do need to give out a shout out to Lick Chan, internet superstar Lick Chan, because he is the one that returned Hour of Victory to us.
Oh, he's been. Did he play it?
He played it, yes.
Did he finish it?
No, I don't think so.
Did anybody finish it?
I've finished it. I think a couple of people on the list have finished it.
That is an achievement that you should really have.
The game's called Hour of Victory because you only need to play for an hour.
It is like 2 hours long, I think. Two or three hours long. Yeah.
It should be interesting to see like how many people have that achievement. It's got to be like one of the lowest, well, maybe not, the lowest frequency achievement. Anyway, I'm starting to not make any sense, which means it is time to say goodbye.
No, I thought we already did.
Hopefully I don't have to edit out any conversation with Wombat like I did last week.
Yeah.
So, see you next week.
Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply.
I think you'd better do what he says, Mr. Kenny.
You now have 15 seconds to comply. You are in direct violation of Penal Code 113, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
Help me! 4, 3,